Lord, we don't even need to invite you. We know that where two or three are gathered together, there that you said that you would be in the midst of us. And we have faith and confidence that we are gathered in thy name for thy purpose, to give you glory and praise because of the power and the authority that you have over all creation and this earth. And even over your body, Lord, you, Jesus Christ, are the head. And even above you is the Lord God Almighty in the heavens. But we are thankful, Lord, that we have access to thy Father heart, Lord God, through Jesus, your Son. And we simply pray that as we open up your eternal words that have been penned down by faithful men through the ages, that we would glean an understanding and a glimpse of who you are and what you would have us to do, and to help us look, Lord, with the proper perspective of where we are in relation to you, regarding our relationship. We pray, Lord, that many more would come to the saving knowledge of the faith in Jesus Christ. And we also pray, Lord, that for your believers, Lord, that you would bolster our faith and give us that extra confidence that we need, especially in these perilous times, that you are in control always. And we pray this, Lord, in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Loved ones, turn with me. I'd like to read one verse if you so would like to follow along. It's found in Proverbs, and just through my meditation this past week, especially with all that's gone on, both in the world and also in my personal life, just wanted to read one simple verse. And that verse is found in Proverbs 22, verse 4, which says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." By the fear of the Lord and humility, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, Vesna usually asks me if she knows that I'm going to be serving, what my meditation was on and what my theme or topic is. And kind of tongue in cheek, I told her this morning as we were traveling here, I said, maybe it's all about how to get rich scheme. I'm not going to make that as the topic, but maybe something similar like, so you want to be rich? You want to be rich? Well, here is pretty clear that even the wisest man, who is proclaimed the wisest man, says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. As I was thinking of the events of this past week, we did visit the Southwest Sing, for which we are truly thankful. Seeing the Spirit move amongst the believers and amongst friends, participating in the choir and also hearing the choir, especially the one highlight for my family, myself personally, is that I got to meet and talk with my Aunt Lillian, the oldest sibling. She was the oldest sibling of my father's brothers and sisters. She would have been 98 this August. But as I talked with her, as we arose her out of her sleep, she's been bedridden for probably the last few months or so, it was pretty clear that she was very clear in mind, even though her body was failing. And clearly her body was weak, but her mind was very in touch with what was going on, even mentioning some family members that she didn't even see in the room, but she could make that connection. So I was very encouraged. We had a chance to pray with her, but just thinking about the fact that she has passed away earlier this week, and so glad that we were able to see her in her last moments, thinking about the outbreak in the Ukraine with Russia, the turmoil that's been happening around the globe in terms of many, many things, a lot having to do with COVID and the economic crisis that we might be in and in different places in the world. My meditations brought me to this particular verse, and especially because all these things kind of in combination made me think of a business trip that I took almost 5 years ago. So I want to take you back to September, mid-September, about 5 years ago. I'm traveling in Boston We have about 4 days there visiting a lot of our customers, most of which, in that area at least, are the major universities, so Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Princeton, and Northeastern University, and a couple of other commercial companies. But one day, when late in the afternoon, when our last appointment was done, the sales rep and I wanted to take a walk through Boston. We didn't really know where we were going. We didn't have any set agenda, but we just started walking. And after a while, we got out of like a downtown area. We crossed into a green park area, crossed over a river bay, and then we crossed over in a different kind of neighborhood. There's one thing that stood, of all the things that have happened this week, there's one thing, and it's so subtle, loved ones, sometimes how subtle a thing can make such a big impression on your mind. There's one thing that I saw there that keeps this business trip in particular in mind. And it wasn't the beautiful weather that we had in mid-September for Boston at that time of year. Purely sunny, very dry, drier than normal. Great temperature range. It wasn't the customers that we met with. It wasn't even the chance that we got some downtime and had to walk or could walk. And by the way, after we crossed that river and across the little bridge and through the nice green park, we came into an area where the old Fenway Park happens to be located. And if anybody's a Boston Red Sox fan, you know what I'm talking about. That park I don't think is used anymore for baseball. But there it was. But that's not the thing that was indelibly etched in my mind. On the corner, so Fenway Park, different streets that bind it or that form a boundary. But one of those streets, one of the corners, which is the corner of Jersey and Brookline, Fenway Park is on the right if you're approaching it from the west, from the east, excuse me, because it's in the eastern part of Boston. And as you're approaching the property of Fenway Park and you see the front there, across the street is a little building. And I don't know why I was drawn to the building, but there's a plaque on the building. That plaque is, I'll remember that plaque probably as long as the Lord gives me the strength to remember. But on that plaque was something written that I thought was very, it's an important plaque. It's a plaque that commemorates the building and actually names the building for a person that I couldn't find a lot of information for. Let me read to you what was actually, the plaque said in part, basically, that this building was in honor of, so this is a Richardson building. I don't believe it's actually called that anymore. And if you look at it as a building, it's not a high-rise building. It's not. I don't even think it has more than 3 floors to it. But it says, the plaque says in part, Richardson Building in honor of George Lincoln Richardson, a faithful employee in the office of William H. Barges and Howard W. Lang. Trustees. I took a picture of that plaque, and I was very curious as to who this George Lincoln Richardson was. I remember shortly after the business trip years ago, I tried to look for information about this person and how a building was named after him because he was a faithful employee. That's not something you see every day. When I go to the Trump Building, that's in honor of somebody else who is very famous, who has celebrity right around the world. This person I could not find a lot of information on after 15, 20 minutes of Googling. And this week, because of the passing of my Aunt Lil, because of the Ukraine-Russia situation over there, because of the topsy-turvy things that are happening in this world, I remember this plaque. And I was determined to find some information on this gentleman. And in fact, I did find it. I found a little book. It was published in 1919. It was called A Memorial of Three True Lives. I want you to remember that title, A Memorial of Three True Lives, and what you think that title might refer to. It's actually a very short book. It was authored by Ralph Harper, again, published in 1919. And it's basically a glimpse of three ordinary men who lived in the Boston area and who had lost their lives because of the Great War, that is World War I. And so as I'm reading through the book, I'm getting a glimpse of who this George, and one of those lives was George Lincoln Richardson, Link by short. And I'm not going to go through the old biography, but I'll just tell you he was born in 1897. He was actually born in Chelsea, which is north of the Logan Airport in Boston. He moved as a young kid to the Winthrop area, the Winthrop neighborhood, which is also a little north of Boston. And there he lived his entire life. His home was there. But he clearly had a love for the church and for God. He was confirmed in his church at a very early age, early teens. And these are some of the things that people said about him, because this author researched his life, as quote-unquote ordinary as it was, because he had some traits that made him worthy of a plaque by which a building was named after him. And I won't bore you with the details, but he was born in 1896, lived in Boston all his life. He was called and conscripted to the Great War as an army gunnerman. And in fact, he did lose his life in 1918, October 24th, just north of the Verdun area in France. In fact, his army, there's evidence from his army buddies that basically say he didn't do an act of heroism. The young men were called to the front line, and very often they weren't given a lot of food, not a lot of sleep, because they're right in enemy fire. And frequently they had to seek shelter in dugouts or shell holes is what they called them. And so on that fateful day in October 24, 1918, due to enemy fire, he was killed in his sleep, you know, sleeping from exhaustion in a shell hole protected there. That was his life. But here's a glimpse of his life. Some things that people said about him: teachers, army buddies, family, community. He was the best friend I ever had. He never wanted to miss a church service. We never heard him complain. He was always willing to sacrifice what he had so that others could benefit. And in one of the letters to his mom, he mentioned that he was going to buy insurance, because the army offered insurance for some kind of sum which came out of his army pay, and he wanted to make sure that his mom was a beneficiary, just in case something happened. But he was always aware that his mom would be worrying, and he was always trying to let her know in his letters, this is George Lincoln Richardson, that, you know, don't worry, Mom, I will be home. An ordinary life. No heroics. But here's a man where a building was named after him because he was a faithful employee. And the reason this came to mind is because there's such a parallel with this man whose meek and quiet spirit went through life uncomplaining, loving God and loving his church, helping his friends, helping whoever might need something. And that's kind of a description of my Aunt Lillian, who in her, again, meek and quiet way, which we know from Scripture, I think Peter says this in one of those chapters, that, you know, this is the hidden man of the heart, right? These kind of people don't need ornaments. These kind of people don't even need to do something worthy of attention or heroics. Or something big, as men and women would like to aspire to do in their life, to be remembered, to do something useful, to be effective, to have an impact on the world around them, on their family, on their friends, on their church, on their government, on their community. You know, we don't have to read very far in Scripture from chapter 1 to understand that this is frequently on the mind of man. We can read of those in the area of Babylon who built the Tower of Babel and wanted to make the name for themselves. And here's a book that was written over 100 years ago that gives us a glimpse into three ordinary lives, but they were true lives in the sense that they were true to God. And they did receive, as the Proverbs 22:4 says, by their humility and the fear of the Lord, received honor and riches and life. Now that doesn't seem probable, and in the case of my Aunt Martha, because especially if you read about this man's life, okay, he has a plaque on a building that probably no one even remembers. I don't even think it's called the Richardson Building anymore, unless you read that plaque. But his life has passed. So has my Aunt Lil's. He never had a lot of money. Neither did my Aunt Lil. Okay, he has a plaque to commemorate his faithfulness in his duties. That's another thing that some of the letters brought out, that he was always faithful and diligent, this man, in his duties. That was my Aunt Lillian. She worked in a hospital, I think, for most of her career, helping others, but especially a life of sacrifice. And in the case of my Aunt Lil, she sacrificed what could have been a beautiful life with a husband. She turned down at least one proposal that I know of. For what reason? None other than that she had a desire and she felt a calling from God to take care. To take care of her mother. To take care of her mother. So right now my cousin Dave is going through the paperwork of transporting Aunt Lil's body to Ohio, where her mother is buried, because she has a desire to be buried by her mother, who she cared for all of her life. That was a life of sacrifice. That is a life of a quiet and meek spirit that is in the sight of God of great price. And I don't mention these individuals, by the way, to venerate them. George Lincoln Richardson is kind of already venerated or commemorated with a plaque. I don't think there's a plaque in honor of my Aunt Lil. She wasn't rich. Her life is past now. But we're not talking about earthly riches, are we? We're not talking about earthly honor. We're not talking about earthly life. We're talking about those treasures that are in heaven, that where our heart aspires to, that's where the treasure will be. Where that treasure is, that's where our heart will be, as Jesus said. And for Aunt Lil, her treasures were always with the perspective of heaven in mind. Her sacrifice was always about heaven in mind. So apart from individuals, again, I'm not trying to put them on a pedestal. I'm not trying to venerate them. God knows. Right? But really, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about more than a few individuals, even in our own congregation, who I don't want to say maybe are acknowledged enough, but in their meek and quiet and gentle way are doing God's work. And whether it's the little things or the big things, they're just quietly in the background doing what God is asking them to do and being faithful to what God is asking them to do. And it is with you in mind, and really it's for all of us, right? All of us to be reminded that whatever we're doing in life, that we need to do it with a meek and quiet spirit, with that hidden man of the heart, without any fanfare, without any accolades in mind. And God honors that. It's to you that I'm speaking to today, that we certainly appreciate all that you are doing, even though we may not acknowledge you in person. We may even forget about you because of your meek and quiet spirit, you know, working in the background, perhaps unnoticed. I'm thinking maybe sometimes you might even get discouraged that no one is noticing, especially when you see other people being acknowledged or being honored, maybe given accolades. But keep on doing what you're doing. Don't get discouraged. One thing I'm thinking about is we know that Jesus gave power to his disciples. He said he sent 70 out at a time and then 120. And he gave them power over scorpions and serpents and devils. And the first time that these 70 came back, the disciples came back to him one time and they said, Lord, because Jesus wanted to know what was going on. He sent them out two by two. Right, to proclaim the gospel and to have this power, these miraculous powers. And they came back and they were so excited. Do you remember that passage? I forget where it is. But they were so excited. They told the Lord, they said, Lord, even the devils, those demonic forces, those beings, they're subject to us in your name. You know, they hear your name and they're weak. They go away. They're defeated. Even the devils are subject unto us. And remember what Jesus told them? He said, don't rejoice about this. You know, yes, I have given you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power, the evils of this earth, right? But rejoice not because the devils are subject unto you, because the spirits are subject unto you. Rejoice because, what? Your names are written in heaven. That's what he said. We don't have to do heroics. Yes, some of us may be called to be on the front line. Some of us may be called to be attention getters, right? Even as the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, some are going to be called to be evangelists. They're going to be on the front line. They're going to be noticed, right? Some are called to be teachers. They're going to be noticed. Some are called to be hospitality givers. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But there is things to be done in a body. And some of those are very visible, and many of them are not. I just want to encourage us that if you're one of those with a meek and quiet spirit, don't get discouraged. Continue what you're doing because your name is written in heaven. Keep doing the work of the Lord, abounding the work of the Lord with, you know, the fear of the Lord and humility, like we said here. It doesn't matter what big or small thing that the Lord is asking you to do. If you're doing it with faith and fervor and with a fear of the Lord in a meek and quiet and gentle and humble spirit, God takes notice of that. And by the way, didn't take some time to read through many different examples in Scripture, but I can think of a few of them right now where something so innocuous was asked of someone to do, but the Lord turned it around to be something big. I'm thinking of Ananias, by the way. Ananias, the one who laid hands on Saul of Tarsus, isn't mentioned a lot in the Bible. I think there's only a couple places, a couple chapters in Acts where he is mentioned. But it's because of Ananias and seeking the Lord to overcome his fear that, hey, you want me to go to this person who is clearly an enemy of the church, of the way, the truth, and the life that Jesus founded. You want me to go to this man who admits that he is an enemy of the church, and you want me to lay hands on him? And that little, simple task that God asked them to do changed a whole Gentile regions about the Middle East and beyond. And there are many, many other scripture references, loved ones, where maybe some of these people aren't even named. And I don't know if the maid of Naaman is another one I'm thinking of. I think it was a maid or one of his servants was like, you know, the prophet asked you to do some simple thing. He asked you to go to the river and dip in it. That's like, that's not a hard thing to do, is it? And it must have convinced Naaman because he did it and his leprosy was cleansed. I don't think that person is even named in the Bible. But they were called to do something and it made a big, big difference. And so just wanted to say we appreciate, thank you so much for those who are in the background and maybe you want to be in the background and that's okay. Just realize that we do realize, we acknowledge that there are things that you're doing that feed and nourish the body, and we are so appreciative of that. So remember that our riches are not here in heaven. And you know what? It's these people who typically have the best understanding of the right side up realm of God, where to the world this is upside down. But when God says on Jesus, his son, says, you want to be the first, you need to be the last. You want to be a servant, you want to have power or authority over others, then you need to be a servant of all. You want to be strong, you got to be weak first, so I can work in you. That's a topsy-turvy world to this world, this generation today, but it's the true right-side-up world of God, where the last shall be first and the first shall be last. The weak will be made strong. The humbled will be exalted, and the proud ones will be made low. That's what we're striving for, isn't it? To see that kingdom where we can even see that book. Maybe it's not called a memorial of three true lives. Maybe it will be called a memorial of millions of lives. But rejoice and be glad and be thankful. No matter what happens in this world, keep doing what God is asking you to do, because your name is written in heaven. And Jesus insinuated that that is more important than whatever heroic, whatever medal, whatever important thing that you're doing, if it's done with, you know, fervor, faith, a fear of the Lord, it's not forgotten. Your names are written in heaven. Thank you for serving our church. Please don't get discouraged if no honor, plaque, medal comes your way, because God knows, and your names are written in heaven. May God bless his word to our hearts, and may he encourage us all to faithful service.